Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Mason Dixon, joined once again by Corey, the Bayou Benders, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub of Habs content. Alright guys, we're back a day late, which seems to be happening a lot more frequently than I wish it were. However, due to, you know, Wi-Fi and busy schedules and stuff, it's kind of what happens in the summer. The schedule's a little more fluid, but we are here and it's almost good. We got an extra day to kind of sit on this, kind of think things through, because, you know, there's a big deal in Habs land. But before we get to that, first and foremost, Corey, how are you, buddy?
I'm okay. I'm off this week. Just been sitting at the house, big chilling, having a couple of pops whenever I wake up, when I feel like it. Secretly doing side quests on my wife's Witcher 3 campaign, because she's like, I'm not strong enough. So like, I'll go and like beat a bunch of shit before she wakes up and put her back where I found her. and her character, I like put like 2 or 3 levels on her character today just to try to help her. But excuse me, I'm chilling, dude. I'm more or less, excuse me, I'm just burping. I'm just more or less big chilling. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't think she's caught on.
that is so sweet.
Yeah, like the other day I was watching her play, and she's going up against one of the first Wild Hunt players fights you go up against with Kira, and I'm like, why are you doing this? You know, like watching her play. And my wife probably was high and didn't care. Like, she was just like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't care about learning this stuff. I'll learn it along the way. So like, she's playing with like a almost completely broken silver sword. And she's got repair things in her inventory. And she's using like the same armor from the beginning, not upgraded, anything like that. But she's got a shitload of armor in her bag. So like, I took the controller from her, like fixed all of her shit, put some new armor on her, and she fucking, you know, beat down this fucking dude. So I was like, the other day I was just bored. She was sleeping in. I was like, I wonder like what I could help her with, because she doesn't want help. She's going to say that she doesn't want it, but sometimes she does need it. So I just picked up the control and like looked at some of her stuff, and I was like, okay, well, she's not leveling up correctly. She doesn't understand the mutation jet or the sigils in the rocks. So like, I just kind of like updated her shit for her, and, just turned the game off and went back to playing FIFA, and she seems to be doing a lot better.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, I wish I had probably wouldn't be happy about that.
I mean, as long as she doesn't catch on. And I'm sure she doesn't listen to a ramble on this podcast, so I think you're safe.
No. And then she's going to get to a point where she doesn't need my help anymore, but, like, I'm just trying to set her in the right direction. You know what I'm saying? Like, after a while, she will would be figure really everything out. Funny. What? Delete her game?
It would be really funny. No, she, like, does figure it out. She goes, in regards to the setup you gave her, I can't believe I was using that setup. It was so trash. What was I thinking? And she just starts slandering you. Now, that'd be funny.
Fuck it, dude. If she, like, I gave her the best stuff that she has in her inventory right now. You know, like, I didn't go out and, like, upgrade all of her shit. I just fixed all of her broken swords and put better armor on her and put runes in slots. Just tried to make it a little bit more balanced for her. She's just not maintaining her character, but progressing the game. So it's just getting that much harder for her.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. Oh, so nothing new otherwise in your life, however. Nothing else really changing?
Oh, dude, not really. I just found out that at the Raising Cane Center in Baton Rouge, they're going to be doing 3 expo games for hockey like they did in Biloxi. And Biloxi ended up getting their team back. So fans are like freaking out, hoping that with good sales and good turnouts at these exhibitions, we can get the Baton Rouge Kingfish back, which had a sick logo, sick name, and a fun team. It's been 20 years. So it'd be great to have that back.
No, it'd be amazing. How about any TV shows? You watch any TV shows lately?
I binged Miss Marvel today. Really good. I watched The Northman the other day. Fantastic film. You're going to love this. I rewatched 1917 for the first time in a couple of years. Fantastic film.
Oh.
Fantastic film.
So good. Very nice. No, I
better than that.
I rewatched Avatar the other day.
Yeah, how was that?
What do you mean, ugh? Like, not the Airbender movie.
Yeah, I would never shame the greatest American anime ever.
That movie still, honestly, we're talking about 1970. Which has the greatest cinematography I've ever seen, but Avatar is a beautiful movie.
Mm-hmm.
The CGI is—it's not just art; like, it's a masterpiece. And I truly mean it when I say this. It's a masterpiece on the level of, like, the Mona Lisa. Like, the fact that that movie came out 2009 and it still looks better than anything Marvel has put out with Marvel yet, and CGI is just James Cameron just simply doesn't miss. it's a masterpiece. It was great to watch that again.
You're a big Fern Gully
and then,
fan,
unfortunately. Fern Gully,
yeah, because the movie's just a fucking rip on the plot of Fern Gully. Great film, not Fern Gully. The Avatar is a great film. Was beautiful, still is beautiful. Still think it's crazy that they're still trying to make us believe that there's a sequel coming. I'll send you the shit for Fern Gully later. And you can watch that, and then you can come back and tell us that it's just a live-action CGI'd Fern Gully.
I've never heard of Fern Gully, but I will not take any Avatar slander.
You will after watching Fern Gully.
Unfortunately, after watching Avatar, I went and saw Top Gun because my friends wanted to see it.
Top Gun Maverick?
Yeah.
You have a need for speed.
What a horrible, like,
I haven't seen it.
It wasn't a bad movie, mm-hmm. per se. But the only reason it wasn't bad is because it was basically just the first Top Gun movie.
Just modernized.
Yeah, but like the original Top Gun, if you watch it now, it's painful. It's so corny, like it's so cheesy, but you like it just because of the nostalgia, right?
Yeah.
This movie, like the trailer, when I went into it, I thought it was going to be a little overrated because it's sold. It's gone insane at the box office. So I knew I needed to temper my expectations. And I'm not the biggest Tom Cruise guy, to be perfectly honest with you. I think he plays Tom Cruise in every movie, not an actual character. But I kind of thought this movie was going to be centered around Miles Teller. And lo and behold, Tom Cruise, fucking 60-year-old man, Tom Cruise is the main character, flying a fighter jet, killing people, and like just, I don't know. I mean, the guy doesn't look 60, I'll give him that, but like he's at the point in his age where it's just not believable. You know what I mean? For him to be doing all these things. And yeah, I wouldn't go see it in theater, to be honest with you. It wasn't my favorite movie, but
wasn't a big regular Top Gun fan. So yeah, I definitely wasn't seeing it in theaters, but okay, good to know. Did they have anything to do with Goose's child in this new one?
Miles Teller.
That's Goose's kid. What's his name? Goose 2?
Rooster. Rooster. Like, I can't even.
Should have been like Magpie. Bad. Like something sinister.
The Iceman's in it.
I love Val Kilmer, dude.
He's in it for like, he doesn't even speak.
Well, he can't really anymore.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
But it's awesome that he had a role in it, though. He fucking sucked in that movie. Honestly, it's one of his worst films. Not the new one. Haven't seen it, but Top Gun. Val Kilmer wasn't really even in the film. He would like pop up every now and then and be like, "You fucking suck, Maverick. I'm the best." Sorry,
what I meant to say, like, I know Val Kilmer can't speak. I mean, like, he does text to speech now. He says like literally two, like he like types out two sentences in the entire movie and then dies, which I think is kind of fucked up that they made him die in the movie of the fucking disease that he has in real life. So I was watching that kind of like, wow, he must have loved playing this role.
By far, Val Kilmer's worst role, probably. Maybe iconic, but it was a tough one.
Top Gun's just a cheesy movie.
Yeah.
You're a Maverick. You're going to get someone killed. I'm better than you. You're right. That's entirely his role. And to look pretty.
Yeah, more or less.
What else? And then I got really bored. You know, like, I don't watch a lot of TV, but I like to have a series, you know what I mean? Like, where I can just, if I have some free time, if I'm eating dinner or whatever. So I scrolled through the depths of Disney Plus.
Oh, here we go.
I found a show that I remembered when it like released on TV. And I'll be honest, I don't know if it's the greatest show in the world, but I enjoy it. It's called Siren.
Siren.
It's weird.
I've never heard of it. This had to be way past my Disney time, which I mean,
it's not a Disney production. Like, they just own the rights to it.
Oh, okay.
Plus, and basically the whole premise is like, it's about mermaids, but not like,
oh god,
No. Yeah, it's not like I wouldn't say it's like I just didn't, it's I enjoy it. You know what I mean? I wouldn't say it's like super good, but it's an interesting. It's like mermaids, but like from not a like a fantasy. Like it's more of a if they existed, they're like kind of scary as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I don't even know how to explain it, to be honest with you. But it's cool. I enjoy it. I thought I was going to hate it. But, you know, when you watch, you're like, fuck it. I'll give it a try. Like, it looks like it has potential. The first episode, I was hooked. I was like, this is fucking amazing. I'm going to watch all of this. So I'm almost done that now. And I'm looking for suggestions for my next show. Because once I'm done this, I think I'll be done it pretty good. Or pretty soon. I just don't know what to watch anymore. There's so many different, there's too many streaming services. The market is so saturated. No, there's no, I might just, I honestly am at the point now, Corey, where I might just cancel my Netflix membership.
Yeah. There's
nothing on it. No? Nothing on it that interests me.
I watch a lot of weird shit. So it's like, I can give you suggestions. You might not ever watch it.
I just like, I think Crave might be where it's at now for me.
No way. Crave
has a lot of stuff. They own Hulu as well, so I don't know. I just Netflix has nothing anymore. And whenever I can't, there's Netflix originals that I want to watch, but I can't get dedicate myself to them because. Well, no, because every time I watch a Netflix original, it gets canceled. Every single time. Like, bar none, they cancel their original shows so quickly and then wonder why no one watches them now. Like, the only one that I can think of that's really booming right now is Stranger Things.
That is the show that's going to put the nail in the coffin of Netflix because they're not going to. They're going to strive to recreate the success that show brought them, and they'll never be able to like do it on that potential again. And they're just going to over budget everything to try to get it to that. And it's going to just plummet that company into the ground.
I mean, they've had some good shows too. Like, did you ever watch Altered Carbon?
You've told me about it.
No, it had Anthony Mackie in the second season. Like, it was a big show. It was a good show. What else did they? They had Marco Polo, which people love. Like, they've had a bunch of big shows. They just cancel. One you need to watch is what's it called? Shit, I'm drawing a blank. Oh my god, what's it called? It's with Benedict Wong. Give me 1 second.
While you think about it, folks, if y'all have any shows, advice for Mason or myself, remember you can leave us a 30 to 90 second. Why am I saying 30? A 0 to 90 second comment or voicemail on our SpeakPipe at www.speakpipe.com/HabsNightly. Mason, have you figured it out? Are you talking about that show where it's like it's like Deadly Kung Class. Fu? Deadly Class. No, I don't know what that is.
It's called Deadly Class. It's based off of like a graphic novel series.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one season. It got canceled.
Sounds about right.
But it's one of the. But I'm telling you, it might be one of the best Netflix originals. Actually, I don't even know if it was a Netflix original. It might have been. It is so good, though. And it wasn't meant to be one season. Like, unfortunately, it ends on a cliffhanger. But if you just appreciate it for what it is so fucking good.
Dude, I've watched so many, like, Netflix shows that were, like, had the potential to go somewhere, and then they canceled it, and I've just forgotten them off the face of the earth.
Oh, so good. Yeah, unfortunately, but moving on to some Habs news, we do have the big announcement to make. Jeff Petry and Ryan Poehling were moved for Mike Matheson for the 4th round pick. Initial reactions, Corey, how do you feel about that?
Sad. I was still with hate and, well, more not hate, but just sadness in my heart. I love Jeff Petry. And, yeah, he sucked last year, but.
Yeah, he picked it up.
One year didn't kill it for me. I hate that people called him a fucking baby and a softy for not being able to be close to his family and people not being able to humanize him and think of how shitty it's been for the past 3 fucking years and how tremendously difficult it's been on him and his family and his fucking, I think he's got 4 kids now.
Well, I think people are stupid in saying like, oh, like Petry, like hated, like this idea that Petry hates Montreal and his wife hates Montreal. Guys, he re-signed last year. A long contract. His wife and him clearly, like, if you think that people are blaming his wife in a lot of this, you think his wife didn't have a big say in if he was going to sign a long-term contract in Montreal? They clearly both wanted to stay there. And does Julie Petry maybe have some differing opinions than I do about COVID and stuff? Maybe, but whatever makes her happy, man. And you got to do what you got to do. Clearly things weren't working. They needed the support. So like you said, like if you're calling Petry and his wife soft for doing what they believe is best for their family, you're just pathetic.
It's unfortunate because a lot of like big Habs people were people had turned their backs on Jeff Petry long before this offseason, but I just hate to see people shit on more or less my favorite defenseman for the Montreal Canadiens since my, you know, very young, naive love for PK Subban. It's tough to see him go. This dude was fucking phenomenal for us, except for 1 year where the entire team was bad. And look, man, he wanted to be closer to his family after 3 years of being far away from his family. I don't know what's to be that upset about. As far as his character, I'm upset that he's just not a Canadian anymore. To move on to the next guy, I feel like Ryan Poehling never really got a true chance here. And you can say last year was a shot, but before that, he really never got anything. He never really got a chance to give it his all on a team that, unfortunately, if you look back at it, didn't stand a chance in anything. So why not play the fucking kid, give him a chance? And he never got it. So they go to a team I can't fucking stand. And that's where I am. A bit of hatred. I don't know much about Mike Matheson.
I didn't know you hated the Penguins.
Yeah.
Why do you hate the Penguins?
2016, I think, was the Predators. So one of my favorite Southern market teams with PK Subban on it. So, you know, I was all aboard the get PK a cup to rub it in the face of the Habs community that fucking hated him. And then I've told this story multiple times on here. I grew up a lot in Tennessee. My grandfather was I don't even know if you can call him a carpenter. He was, but he was more of like a handyman, I guess. Just he learned everything, and whether he did it right by the books or just the way he figured it out was his own, you know, agenda. But my grandfather built a cabin in Tennessee that took him by himself, I think it was 10 years to build. and it was just all him. And he built a two-story cabin out in Crosby, Tennessee, which is closer to like North Carolina and Kentucky area than the Nashville Predators. But I grew up, and like I grew up there my entire life until I turned a senior in high school. So like every summer, every winter vacation, basically any vacation I could have, I would go up there because I loved it so much. And then me and my grandfather would go up there and like maintain the place. And then my family, it was like, you know, like a family place for us. So like the Nashville Predators was just like Tennessee's team. So like I had inheritedly loved them as well, just from spending so much time up there. And then the year before that, the San Jose Sharks got their shit kicked, who I fell in love with that team. And then it's my cousin's favorite team and one of my best friend's favorite teams. So it was like just a real saga. And then to watch the Pittsburgh Penguins, you know, obliterate both teams, it's kind of tough. And then we had some Penguins fans.
Calm down. Go Crosby. Crosby for life.
Oh, what a fucking baby. But anyway, we had some Penguins fans that used to pop into my old job and would just talk so much shit. So it just turned like, it turned to a raging hatred for this team.
Fair enough. Well, let's discuss how we felt. Like, how did you feel about it in and of itself? In terms of value.
Well, more bias based on just sadness of it, but value. I think it's tough. I want to see Mike Matheson play. And I'm hoping I'm saying his name right. I saw his Jay Fresh thing on him. Looks pretty good. Excited to see him play. It's someone that wants to be here. Now, granted, you know, like that's one thing. I'm not going to say Jeff Petrie didn't want to be here, but like his mind was also off. It was an off season. But a guy that generally wants to come home and make a difference, you're always going to love that. I think he's going to be good as a player. I don't think that – now, this is just me being, like, you know, Canadian bias. I don't think that Matheson in a fourth-round pick was worth our former first overall and Ryan Poehling, who never got a shot. So, I feel like
– first round.
Yeah, I'm sorry, first round. That's what I meant. Ryan Poehling, who never got a shot, so he's definitely got a chance to blow that trade better for them, along with Jeff Petrie. I just think it's a bit one-sided for the Penguins, whereas a lot of people aren't going to see it my way. I know that Jeff Petrie has the ability to have a bounce-back season. He's never had an offseason, really, except for last year when everyone did. And then I hope Ryan Poehling has an opportunity with a team that doesn't really have a bottom six to solidify a role for him and get his feet in there and prove to the Canadians that we fucked up by not giving this kid a chance when we weren't shit for 6 years that he was here.
Okay, so I'm going to disagree with you, but not maybe where you think I'm going to disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're underselling Kent Hughes's the value that Kent Hughes got in this trade, and not because you're overvaluing Petrie. I think we both agree Petrie is the best player in this deal. He's the best chip. He's a legitimate top pairing defenseman in the NHL. One off year in which he went almost a point per game for the last 15 games of the year, where he really picked it up. That doesn't mean anything to me. It's just an off year,
mm-hmm.
regardless of his age. Where I think you're overvaluing here is Ryan Poehling. I totally disagree with you. I don't think Ryan Poehling never got a chance. Ryan Poehling played the whole season in the NHL last year. He played power play. He played third line minutes. It wasn't, you know, sheltered. Like he got offensive zone draws. His first game in the NHL, he scored a hat trick because he was given opportunities. The reason Ryan Poehling didn't return directly to the NHL after that hat trick game. And this is pretty confirmed, is because he showed up to training camp out of shape. I like Ryan Poehling. I think Ryan Poehling's a legitimate third line player in the NHL. If he's on your fourth line, he's doing very well. I think he's a third line player. I do. But I don't, to say that he never got a chance, I think is unfair to even Dominic Ducharme, who I will rarely praise, and the other coaching staff, who I do think gave him plenty of opportunities in Montreal. And the reason I would say I'd go even further, and I'm very much okay with getting rid of Ryan Poehling, is because Montreal has a logjam of forwards, and moving his salary off the books as well as Petrie's allowed us to retain Rem Pitlick on a very friendly team contract, 2 years, $1.1 million, a guy we thought was lost, and a guy who just scored, 36 points in 50 something games. He had a very good season last year, an underrated rookie year, a very smart, intelligent, fast player with quick hands. Like if you're looking at this from a trading perspective, and we trade Ryan Poehling for Rem Pitlick straight up, you win that trade if you're getting Rem Pitlick 10 out of 10 times. So I think Poehling kind of needed to go. I think he needed a fresh start. I'd much rather have Pitlick. And then with Petrie and Matheson, I'll be honest, I wish we took less salary back with Petrie, but you look at the way the market is. John Klingberg hasn't re-signed yet. There are a bunch of other veteran defensemen that haven't re-signed. Even Brett Kulak only got $2.5 million, I think. Like, Brent Burns didn't get much. The market for defensemen is not what we expected it to be. And truthfully, I think Kent Hughes did very well in not having to offload anything to get Jeff Petrie. He didn't retain any salary. He threw in Poehling maybe as a little bit of a sweetener, but I also think it was a savvy move, like I said, because it allowed him to retain Rem Pitlick, who was a UFA. And you do gain 2 point something million in cap space, and you get a defender in Mike Matheson, who is coming off a career year, is one of the better transition defensemen in the league. I'm not going to say one of the best, but his transition numbers are phenomenal, and that's something the Habs defense is sorely lacking now without Jeff Petrie, is transition. And he's an elite skater, a very, very good skater. Mike Matheson's a very serviceable top three defenseman, at minimum your fourth defenseman. And he's a guy, I think, who's going to play a lot of minutes. And that's something Kent Hughes did kind of prioritize when he spoke about this almost, 6 months ago, talking about a Petrie trade. He wanted someone that could come in and play the minutes, because you look at that D core and there aren't a lot of veteran guys left. There's only one guy left from the Stanley Cup run in which we had the big four. You know what I mean? Our team was built on those defenders. One remains of any player, even the defenseman scratched on that roster. That's Joel Edmondson. So Mike Matheson, I think, is a very valuable addition to this team. He's only 28. He's from the West Island of Montreal. He speaks French. Kent Hughes has known him since he played AAA hockey, but still did his due diligence, reached out to Chris Letang, asked him what kind of a character he was. They spoke about his analytics, his numbers about 5-on-5 possession, is something about his assists per 60 and stuff. The fact that Kent Hughes has known this guy since he was a 14 year old, signed the extension he was on with Florida. Kent Hughes is the one that got Mike Matheson the contract he is on right now. It was an 8-year, $4.8 million contract, a very good deal for Mike Matheson at the time. The fact that Kent Hughes knows the guy so well and still did all this research not only makes me even more confident in Mike Matheson, it also makes me more confident in Kent Hughes after this trade, because it shows that while Bergevin would often trade for guys and hire guys he knew, Kent Hughes is willing to do that, but he's also going to do his homework still. He's not going to let that blind him. So, you know, my initial reaction, I was pretty upset. I was pretty underwhelmed. And I think it's fair to say that Pittsburgh got the better assets in the deal. But I think when it came to a Jeff Petrie trade, this is, you've done pretty well. You could have done much worse. I think Kent Hughes set out and accomplished most of what he was looking to get in a Jeff Petrie trade, if you include the fact that he retained Rem Pitlick, which I do think is a major part of it. So when you kind of narrow it down to that, in exchange for Jeff Petrie, the Habs got Mike Matheson, a capable top four defender who's going to help them on their transition and possibly pay power play time and eat up a lot of minutes, which they're going to need. They got a fourth round pick and they got one of the best rookies of the year last year and a very smart, intelligent, fast player who meshed very well with their other young guys in Rem Pitlick. So when you look at it that way, I think it's actually a pretty good deal for the Habs.
No, that's fair. And honestly, I didn't, when you asked your question, I didn't look outside of the trade itself, like bringing in that money, you know, and doing so, allowing us to sign like Rem Pitlick and shit like that. And I more or less was just on my base reaction of it. No, I still think that Kent Hughes for like you were saying, how the market was for defensemen, we weren't, you know, we didn't want to take, we weren't going to retain any salary, and he did just that. And I think he got the best of what we could have got. And by all means, it's a great move by him, considering, you know, like we know the variables of what we weren't going to stand against. So I think that's one of the, you know, he just continues to show how great he is at making moves like this. I guess I took it as just you wanted still like my general reaction to it originally, but no. What we were able to accomplish by moving these pieces was great, and I just feel like the only thing I have against what you said about the Ryan Poehling thing is that, yeah, Dom Ducharme did give him chances, but I felt, yeah, like you come in out of shape, you kind of fuck yourself. You know what I'm saying? I get that. But like this team was not like really competitive to the point to where he couldn't have been thrown on that team before Dom Ducharme.
That was the team that went to the Stanley Cup final that he showed up to out of shape for.
Well, yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Okay, I thought that was a little early. I just feel like before that, I mean, what was he, our 2017 pick? Not 2017 pick. You know what I mean? I just felt like there was, you know, three, four years worth of play where we weren't that amazing of a fucking team where he could have got reps in. And I know that, you know, someone's going to make the bill that you're just not remembering, you know, like we had these assets that there wasn't any spot for them. We had these players, that's fine. But I just felt like if we weren't really competing at that high of a level, there was no reason to not have brought him up past his phenomenal, his phenomenal fucking, you know, first game with us, which he would not have been able to recreate like that. It wasn't just, oh, we got to have this kid on the team. But I felt there was an opportunity for him to play if this team was dog shit like we were for a while, with the asterisks of our Stanley Cup final appearance.
No, that's fair enough. With that being done, do you think that Montreal and Kent Hughes make any more big moves? There will be moves, but any big moves in the coming days?
I don't really think so. We have one that we can talk about in a second that happened today. But before we get to that, you know, we'll do our ad read and stuff. But I really think it's going to be more or less quiet. We didn't have that big of a cap space, And that's another thing that you did point out that I wasn't able to bring up. I wasn't thinking about it, was that we were able to shed Jeff Petrie's contract and gain a guy who I believe has one additional year or two with less pay, which is great for us. But our cap, I think our cap space, we had like $1 million and some change before moving those guys. So we really didn't have an opportunity to make a massive move. Now we have some guys on this team that will probably get moved, but I don't see it being any big moves before. I think what's left is going to be moves that are made midseason or, you know, trade deadline. I don't really see anything this offseason anymore.
Well, among other players, like Kirby Dach, among others, Montreal has a couple NHL caliber players they still need to re-sign. And they only have $284,000 in salary cap space to do it right now. Now, you can be over 10% over the cap in the offseason, but you still have to balance that out for the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that, especially with Kirby Dach, a guy who's he is going to play. They're going to sign him. He's going to play. They didn't give up assets to not play him and not sign him. I think we are going to see a guy, a Joel Armia, a Paul Byron, maybe even a Dadonov. There's going to be a contract moved.
Okay.
Whether it's Anderson, Hoff, like one of those contracts is going to be moved because you need to sign your young guys. Kirby Dach needs to play and the space has to come from somewhere. It could even be Jake Allen. For all we know, they just signed Sam Montembeau to a 2-year, $1 million annual contract. We don't know what's going to happen. Carey Price may retire, so it'll be interesting to see. I do think there's going to be another contract dumped from Ken Hughes, though.
That's fair. I should have had this pulled up to see, you know, like our receipts as to where our cap space is right now. But, yeah, I was referring to the Montembeau signing. What is it? 2 years, one-way deal. I think it's like $1 million a year. Kind of tough because, honestly, I don't know if it's either one or two things. Carey Price is not going to play another game for the Montreal Canadiens or fucking Jake Allen is on the move. I feel like, I don't know. I think it's on the lines of Carey Price being done and not Jake Allen, but I could definitely see them move Jake Allen. But at the same time, who really needs a fucking goalie right now where we can dump that? And I'm sure if I pulled them up right now and looked at the teams, I'm sure someone could need it, but there's been a lot of goalie movement already. And I think it's a little late to throw in another goalie into an already oversaturated.
I don't think so. I think Jake Allen you'd fetch something. Teams are.
No, I think you'd fetch it, but I just feel like if you were going to move Jake Allen, I feel like you should have did that earlier.
I think I agree with you, but not in the Habs situation where I don't think they have any idea what's going on with Carey Price.
No, they don't.
And unfortunately, you're a little hamstrung until you can figure that out. But mm-hmm. I think Carey Price may have played his last game in the NHL.
Yeah.
It really doesn't look good. And I hope I'm wrong, truthfully. I do. I would like to see Price play at least one game and not go out totally unable to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? At least go out kind of on his own terms. But we'll have to wait and see, really.
But I mean, if he does that, Mason, then if he comes almost like Tuukka Rask, right? Tuukka Rask comes back, plays a couple games, and then just straight up retires, like kind of detrimental to our back end with, like, especially if we have to move someone like Jake Allen. Now, granted, was fucking hurt almost all of last season, but still a fantastic goalie when able. I think he's got one more year under his contract. He's going to make, it's like 2.8. It's still not a bad, it's still not a bad fucking contract for a guy that has some great talent, especially if we put some pieces in front of him. We saw how good he was when we were still in playing just the Canadian market teams. And some of last year, I mean, he looked great. We just fell apart around him. Like a lot of our episodes last year when he was healthy was, we can't really pit this on Jake Allen. Jake Allen had a phenomenal game. The team just couldn't get it done around him.
I think Jake Allen in a weird way is more valuable to the Habs than Carey Price right now, though, because Jake Allen, like you're saying, is, you know, good enough.
He's usable. Like he's an active player.
He can be a starting goalie in the National Hockey League. Absolutely. And he won't complain. He doesn't cost very much. He'll do his job well. But I think the biggest part of that is that he can shelter Caden Primeau.
Mm-hmm.
And Stan Montembeault for that
matter. Take a lot of the burden off of him.
Because I don't think that – I think – you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no point in throwing Primeau and Monty to the wolves. We saw what happened last year. And that's the big fear with Carey Price right now.
Yeah, do you want to have Primeau do that again?
Yeah, if you trade Jake Allen and Price retires, you're fucked. So until we know what's happening with Price, Allen's not going anywhere.
I hope not, honestly. That's why I'm leaning to Carey Price. Is I don't know when they can turn it into a long-term injury and get that cap space back. I don't know, like, the technical time when he can do it, but that's the only thing I can see for Carey Price this year is just recovering, continuing to try to get back into the league. I saw something. He's already undergoing more tests or some shit like that. And granted, this was like middle of last week. I forgot about it already, but I just feel like there's, you know, we're not getting close to good news about him, like being able to suit back up, especially not the weird limbo we were in last year where it was like, yeah, Carey Price is going to miss a month and missed just about all of the season. But yeah, dude, I think that's a tough one. And, you know, time's going to tell with that. I can agree with you now that I'm looking at the projected space. There's going to be a move. I don't think it's going to be a big move. It's going to be a player that we all love as a fandom, but I don't see any major moves. We're going to have to dump salary somewhere. But before we get up out of here, we do have an ad read from our sponsors over at DraftKings. The action never ends at DraftKings Sportsbook, especially this summer with tons of ways to bet on all your favorite sports. You can fuel your fandom and feel the heat of the season like never before. Plus, right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's right. Make your first bet up to $1,000, and if it doesn't win, you'll get another shot to cash in. You can throw down on all the major actions for baseball, golf, MMA, and more. Plus, with same-game parlays, spreads, money lines, over-unders, and props, your betting options feel endless. Also, I mean, best of all, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Y'all always remember to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now if you haven't already. Use the promo code THPN, make your first deposit, and get a risk-free bet to up to $1,000. That's promo code THPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details. I didn't mean to cut you off if you had a rebuttal to that, Mason, but I had to fit this in somewhere.
No, it's all good. I didn't really have anything else to add. Really, I think we both kind of agree. I think the Habs are going to have to make a move. And when we see it, I'm not sure. I don't think the Habs are going to be too invested in the free agent market. So I think Ken Hughes is willing to take his time. And as we've seen, he's a patient guy.
Yeah, I think it's going to be assets.
Yeah, he doesn't think in terms of tomorrow, next week, next month. He thinks in years, mm-hmm. which is exactly what you need for a GM. So
yeah, to get us back on the right track.
Exactly.
But look, man, I know you got to be getting tired. I know this is your episode. I could go off the rails and we could talk some more shit. But I know that you're getting a little tired. I know you've been working your ass off. And I think this episode's kind of stretching it as far as content. There's not much to talk about with the Habs community right now. Players are going into arbitrations. There hasn't been really any massive things happen since the last time we talked. Sports is kind of at the doldrums right now. We'll just go back on another television show rant. So I don't have anything else to say. Mason, if you have anything else to say, say what you want, and then why don't you take us out of here, buddy?
No, that'll be it for me. We appreciate you guys coming back listening. Appreciate you guys putting up with our episodes being late. And, you know, just appreciate all the support you guys give us. We'll be back again on Thursday. Maybe we'll have some moose for you. Maybe we won't. If not, we'll just, you know, we'll do our thing. We'll figure it out as we always do. So once again, thank you, and we'll see you guys again Thursday.
This has been Habs Nightly. We'll talk to you guys again soon.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.